Pirates are the shit. Them.
Have you watched Our Flag Means Death?
Yes. Yeah, it's funny as hell.
Joke, so funny. It's, do you know Taika Waititi? He's like a New Zealand actor, director.
It sounds so racist.
It does. It does.
You know Ping Ping Ling Ling? He's great.
What in tarnation?
I just recently found out how big Alaska is. Alaska's fucking huge.
Oh, gigantic. Yeah. It's like a quarter the size of North America, like of the United States of America. Yeah.
But not populated.
Dude, we were talking Beautiful. About this recently, too. Because somebody was talking about how cheap it is, like, if you're in Europe to fly between different countries. It's like, oh, you can go from, like, Germany to Spain for $59. And it's like, yeah, because most of those countries are smaller than most of our states.
It's an hour and a half train ride, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
That won't get you to Memphis. Yeah. That won't get you to Knoxville.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That would barely get you out of Nashville.
Portland to Seattle. Portland to Seattle is a 4-hour train ride.
Yeah, dude.
It's an hour and a half by car. It's a 4-hour train ride.
Yeah.
So an hour and a half from Spain, like from Germany to Spain. Granted, they do have like high speed trains. Ships,
they have better rail systems than we do. Way better.
For sure.
Our trains go like 30 miles an hour.
Well, they got like
probably because the workers that built them. Yeah.
They got like super trains in Europe or something. I didn't know that. They got super trains in Europe?
Yeah, it's just a better rail system. It's routed better. It's built better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the ones they tried to do in Florida, like the Brightline high-speed rails that keep running over people.
Well, the trains, had America. To be, the trains had to be good because not everyone in Europe has like a 6-horse car truck. Like over here, you know,
Or like a motorcycle. Not everybody can have a nice diesel Ford F-250 in Germany.
Dude, talking about Fort Knox.
Yeah.
If you want to get like kooky, there's all sorts of fun, weirder, like conspiracies about Fort Knox.
Yes. Like there the idea are.
That it's like, it's where all the gold is. And of course, I'm sure that there's like some gold reserves there. But
there's a big, have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's huge. Yes. The big gold vault.
Yeah. It's
and insane. It is locked the fuck down.
But I think like that a Scrooge the whole McDuck idea.
Sized just.
I think if you, if you hide all the gold somewhere, why immediately do you just tell everybody that this is where we hide the gold? I think it's like, it's an excuse to just like, why in Fort Knox do we have like the most insane security, like all this weird, like, underground base and it's super on lockdown and everything. People just think there's some cool ass shit there.
There's some weird shit going on in there.
No doubt.
For sure there has to be weird shit going on there. But also, I feel like that is American confidence.
Yeah.
It's just being like, keep all the gold right there. Come, if you want it that bad, come get it.
Good luck. Imagine how much we have this shit guarded.
Good luck. Before you even get to the base, you have to wade through rednecks.
Yeah,
good
you
luck.
Have to go to go through.
You
kind of
go to the Appalachians.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, exactly.
Good luck.
That's where we do it, dude.
Good luck, dude. You don't even have to worry about just the humans, dude. Good luck with our mythology in the Appalachian Mountains.
No, Pierce the Hills have eyes. You'll need that.
Beautiful. Good luck.
Yeah, but it's also really easy to do.
The Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's over here, look at all these guards with guns and stuff, and there's a fucking door in the middle of the desert that just that's where it's all at.
Yeah,
just open the door, no one knows where it's at, no one cares,
right there.
They just lie and tell you that's right here.
I was living up in Cincinnati,
I like to think shit like
last
that.
10 years for sure, but just north of Cincy and Dayton is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and allegedly that is where all the stuff that crashed at Roswell in 52 they stored in it. Wright-Patterson in Dayton. And I love, and like my buddy, Blake Hammond. Have y'all heard of Blake Hammond?
Mm-hmm. Blake
He's a dog. He was coming home from a show in Dayton and was driving by Wright-Patterson and fucking saw
something. Some shit.
Saw a thing that was just kind of sitting there. And he was like, oh, I wonder. That's weird. It's like the optical illusion where you're traveling and then the plane's traveling and it looks like the plane's not traveling. He was like, look at that. And then he said that he kept going and the thing just kind of shifted colors and then just Goodbye. See ya. As fast as you could go. Well,
dude, what's crazy is like
right above the Air Force Base.
During like COVID lockdown, the government dropped all of that.
Yeah.
Like, unredacted all of the stuff. It's like, we definitely have unidentified flying objects and
proof of alien life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everyone was arguing over whether or not COVID was real. So they were like, we'll bookmark that. We'll get back to it. And
we still haven't really gotten back to it.
The amount of shit that came out during like 2020, like there was just so much. She was like, wait a minute. What? And then people were focused on COVID, but then there were some people that were focused on that. It's like, oh, wait, this is all crazy.
Wasn't there also like 100 like new pages of like Kennedy assassination shit that got released and a bunch of other like crazy random stuff? It's like CIA the government just like, well, oh, we fucked up. Here, JFK. Look at some stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Or like the different things, the other experiments that they were doing.
Yeah, a lot of like the just, mind control stuff came out during 2020.
They were like, okay, listen, guys, we definitely use colors and sounds and frequencies to control everyone, but who gives a fuck? Everybody's getting sick.
I think that they gave us alien disclosure. They shut the country down. They said, don't hug your mom. They did all this stuff. I mean, they were just trying to traumatize.
They were on.
Oh, it worked.
Have you seen everyone?
It worked for a lot of people. And it's very sad. It makes me, at this point, like my feelings at COVID at the beginning, I was like sad, you know, and then you get really mad when people, you know, it got ugly. It got really ugly. Then you're mad because I'm like, no, I am coming in. I didn't get the shot. Not wearing a mask. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And like, and that's bad too. I didn't want to, you know, and I didn't want to be that too. So then I go back, then you kind of get in your hole. And now it's like the main emotion surrounding it is like sadness.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, God, y'all got God, didn't you?
And there's still people who like are really like fucked up.
Yeah.
From like.
Oh, all of it.
The lockdown.
The isolation.
Like, you know, lockdowns. Yeah, like, I had four roommates. I was with all my homies. We were getting hot the whole time. It's like, there are some people that I know that are like loners and they couldn't go anywhere. And then they, you know, they trust the news. They trust the government. So they believe what they're being told. Now they're terrified to go anywhere.
They lived in a war zone.
And now they're just, they're just like lost. Like, it's just, it's.
Some people doubled down and they're like, I have to believe everything I hear from whatever channel. And then other people were like, I can't believe anything I hear from any direct. Yeah. Dude, that's what I. Do you guys remember Semi-Pro, the Will Ferrell? Yeah, like, do you remember fucking everybody love everybody?
Yeah.
At, like, post-lockdown, it feels like the vibe in the country is nobody trust anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
No doubt. That is it. And that's, like, that's just not really where you want to be.
That's not where you want to be
at
all.
That's not where you want to be.
You, like, call, like I, weed smoker, I cough randomly all the time. But, you know, I go to Walmart, I'm fucking wearing a mask, I'm playing a game, I'm fucking... Because I just ripped a cart. And fucking everybody's like, look at this guy, dude. He's got it.
Dude, one of the things that changed the most, it's so funny. It was so long ago. Literally, like, what, half a decade almost at this point? I haven't talked about COVID in so long. This is kind of refreshing. I'm like, oh, yeah.
That crazy thing that happened.
It's still kind of happening.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. The shift that happened during that, like, because when you walked into a place and it smelled like bleach, you were like, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. But before COVID, if you walked into a place and it smelled like bleach, you'd be like, dude, what did you do in here?
Yeah. Did you guys fail a health inspection? You just break down a body? Exactly. What's going on?
Failed a health inspection. Yeah. Exactly.
So we would do COVID cleanings for the company I worked for.
Oh yeah.
And we'd go in full hazmat with these, you know, thermal foggers and spray all this stuff and wipe every vertical surface. And in the beginning, I mean, it was like duct tape around the gloves.
Yeah, bro.
Duct tape around the seams. I had to shave like no gaps.
Felt like an astronaut.
Yeah. No gaps. The owner of the business I worked for.
Boy's dream came true.
Because we had a bunch of like respirators and gloves. Facts. A bunch of respirators and gloves and stuff. He locked everything up in a trailer because he was afraid that employees would steal it. Like we would go in. It was very balls to the wall. And then towards the end, it was like Everybody was just in there in t-shirts and pants, no mask. Just fucking, all right, let's get this shit over with.
So fun.
I didn't realize like how bad it was until I got a kidney stone and I had to, because I was still driving. I was a truck driver. I never stopped working. I never stopped going into places.
Mm-hmm.
Just rock on. I got a kidney stone. I had to go to the VA in Minneapolis. And I walked in and people were in like hazmat suits. And they're like, do you have any of these symptoms? I'm like, no, I have a kidney stone. And they had to like test me. It felt like sci-fi.
I'm in a lot of pain right now. I know what's happening.
I was living in the van and I had stuff booked and like had to go for survival, had to keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I got my shot at the VA, like my vaccine thing at the VA. And they had you do it outside. They had like a drive-through thing set up and like at like the ground floor of the parking structure. Yeah. And everybody was in like the full gear, like full outbreak, like suits and doing shot like through your window. And then you had to like wait in your car for like 20 minutes after getting the shot to make sure you, like you didn't have a reaction or something weird didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, get out of here.
Good.
Yeah. Crazy.
And,
that shit made, but see, seeing shit like that makes it like that much more real and scary.
That's,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
I wasn't terrified
it's like
until
psychological.
I went to the hospital.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then I was like, oh.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I did like stay on the road in the van and do all of that. And because of just the way our jobs work, like
you had to.
You had to. But also, because of the way, like, you guys probably know this and experience this as well. Every time you do a show and you blah, 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 like, when you get home, like, you're normally sick. Dude. It's like being a kindergarten teacher.
I
like, whatever people got, you get.
You can still hear me, dude. I got that road ick so bad. I've had it for, like, 2 weeks.
Same.
And I kicked the vape. I got sick and then kicked the vape. And I have pretty much just been coughing for 2 weeks in a row. Yeah,
well,
dude, feel it, man. Dude, that road sickness.
The road sickness.
So many hands.
So many hands.
So many hugs, dude.
People get really close to your face.
Yeah. So close.
So, much just unconsented to touching.
Non-consensual touching.
Non-consensual touching.
Yeah. People that are coming out to your shows who know you, are you finding, like, are they pretty respectful after shows as far as, like, are they running up and grabbing you by the face and being like, I love you. Or people
some people are like that. I get a lot more people that are like, is it okay to touch you? Can I hug you?
Yeah, sure.
But I also have the people that just freak out, especially like drunk ladies that want to like touch your face.
A drunk lady wants
to touch your face. Well, what they want to do is they want to get you like right here. They want to like put their hand on the side of your neck / head, but they're drunk. So it always goes like on your face.
Like a toddler.
Yeah, like a toddler trying to give you a hug around the neck, and it's like I'm getting poked in
the eye.
Cross-facing, you know?
Exactly.
And it's wetter than I want it to be.
Yeah. How are your hands wet?
Never heard that statement.
Some people are just out of control with it, but some people are pretty respectful.
Your response to that kind of made sense. You're like, never heard that statement before.
Yeah.
Wetter than I want it to be?
Yeah, because, like, you know, I was talking about, like, how, like, pussy. And how, like, pussy's never too wet.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I was, you know what I mean, dog?
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Put your fist out like that again. Lee, get up here. Doug, your hand is big enough that we can just both fist bump you at once. You didn't have to give us singles.
Also, dude. What is this?
Oh, dude, so my dog bit me. With a marker. No.
With a marker.
No, he bit me. And
so you outlined it?
No. So
it's to see if the swelling goes up or down. He might have rabies.
The
or something.
Redness was here, and if it spreads out, I just worry about infection.
Oh, so it appears that it is spread.
A little bit. I did this last night, by the way.
Well, it spread about an inch and a half.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's bad, dude.
We'll see if I'm alive when I come back from Austin.
Why'd your dog bite you?
So I got conned into rescuing a dog.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to get a dog. It was like, oh, you have to rescue because they're so sad.
Hold them both up. So we could. It seems pretty swollen.
Let me
also,
see. Do it to
seems,
me.
Seems pretty swollen.
No, yeah.
Well, the red is way past the mark of concern.
Yeah. Well, your gigantic hands seem cartoonishly larger than you already were. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine I just drew the three red marks. Like, oh, God, I gotta see. No, but he gets anxiety in cars really bad. And we're moving. So the last thing I moved, I was like, all right, I'm, you know, taking the dogs. He's freaking out. It's like a 40-minute drive. He's like me, but in dog years, you know. It's so we're driving.
40-minute in dog years is about 7 hours.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
the accuracy, you know.
We get to the house.
Halfway across Texas.
Yeah.
At that point,
he's traveled the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I open the door and he goes to jump out, and I like put my hand up to like keep from jumping out. And he was like anxiety, he's freaking out, and he like just nipped. And it happened to just suck. Like, he happened to get me.
He got it.
Yeah, and his tooth went right in between my fingers.
Buddy, how pissed were you?
Oh, yeah.
After moving all day.
And then you
just get bit by a dog. Now you're a zombie.
I didn't give him a kiss. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, bud.
But, no, it was, it sucked. And then I went inside, and Q was like, you forgot two things at the house. And I was like,
did I?
I'm going to...
Well, you can snap. That's good.
Oh yeah. Well, day one I couldn't make a fist, but now I can.
Okay.
It was like hurting, but it's also I step on nails all the time from work.
Yeah.
And this is a.
You're like rabies and tetanus proof at this point.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He's tetanus.
The soreness that comes from like a puncture.
Sure.
Like it gets really tight, gets really sore. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of used to that.
Yeah.
I was just more if I see like green or yellow, and more red spreads, and it's like
that's you have to immediately. Yeah.
Yeah,
just get on some antibiotics.
Yeah,
yeah. Sir. You've been there before, bro.
Pop a couple Percocets, you know.
We'll smoke them.
Parachute
them.
Yeah.
We'll parachute them, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I only take my antibiotics. I crush them up.
Yeah, doing lines of acetaminophen. Yeah, why not? Well, I'm sorry about your hand, buddy.
No, it's all good. It's fun.
House is exciting though, huh?
Oh yeah, it's
shit. Congrats.
3 podcasts from now, that's gonna be a hook.
Yeah. No doubt.
But it was it's sick, man. It's a blessing to be able to have my own place.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I worked really hard.
Yes, you do work your ass off.
Yes, you do.
How old are you?
24.
24 home buyer.
Technically 25. No, I just turned 25.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Homeowner.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. I know,
yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. It's cool. I wanted a backyard for the dogs. You know, I lived in apartments. I lived in townhomes. I walked the dogs. You know, that's fine. You know, they get some energy out, but they love his backyard, man. Aww. They're going crazy.
Hell yeah.
It's sick to see them. I see them run around and they just sit down and they're so tired and they're just looking at me and like,
and it's like, man, this is great.
They're 20 feet away from me just looking at me and I know that they're there. It's cool.
Dude, the transaction or the idea of dog miles in a car is very funny.
That's so funny.
I don't know if it's like a bit or if it's just what we're riffing on right now, but like it is so funny that if you take your dog to the dog park, in his mind, he's like, we just drove.
Yeah.
What, 400 miles away from my house?
Yeah.
So I can run around? Like, what a guy. This guy rules. Dog miles, I've really never thought of that.
Dog miles?
Yeah, dog years, dog miles. 40 minutes in a car for a dog? That's also, a fucking
you think a dog goes
to
Texas and he's like, well, it's like an hour ahead of my time.
Yeah, dude.
Well, also, if you leave home for like 4 days.
That's just bullshit, man. I mean, that's just...
Oh, shit, I got jet lag. I'm a dog. Yeah, dude. It is made up, dude. I'm dead, dude. Oh, it is made up.
Well, I mean, time is a construct.
Just a different color outside. That's what I like.
Dude, it's dinner time, and I swear to God, you fed me 2 hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 20 minutes ago. I'm not sure, but...
He's got 4 watches on all of this.
You've been gone for 4 days and also a month.
And also a month.
Dog gets to Texas. Yeah.
You were gone for 4 days and Black History Month.
Yeah, no, you're right. Man, the time change in Nashville is nice. It's a time change for me. I'm coming from Eastern.
west.
And it's, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
You got more time to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm driving, if I'm coming from Lexington or Cincinnati to Nashville, it's like it's 4 hours, but it feels like three.
Yep.
It's nice.
I'll take that. Yeah. It sucks when you got to go the other way, though.
Dude, brutal.
Yeah.
When I go to my grandma's house, she lives in Lancaster, Ohio. The time change, I'm getting up an hour earlier. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm getting up. It's still kind of dark outside. I'm like, whoa, shit. I'm fucking.
It would suck to live, like, right on the border of one.
Yeah.
Mm. That would suck if, like, sometimes you, if you, you know, if you lived in, like, St. Louis, or, no, Little Rock's kind of right on there, or, like, Bowling Green's kind of right on there. Say you're a comic in one of those towns. Some nights you go and you do your spot and it's on this side, the side that you live, and you get to go to bed at 12.
Yeah. You have to specify.
And then you have the exact same day, but you go that way and then you get to go to bed at like 1:30.
Yeah.
That would suck.
You're just either always made late up. Or always on time.
Made up. Well,
made up.
Well, didn't they just like stop daylight savings time?
In some places.
Or something?
I think it's like next year.
Yeah,
that's I think like not next year.
That is,
that's how
I feel
it
like
works.
It's been next year for like 5 years.
I know.
That was another 2020 thing. They were like, guess what? Daylight savings time was never real. Oh my God. That's done. It'll be done in 5 years. And you're like, wait,
yeah, time zones will still be real. Well, time zones
that's
will
what
still
I'm saying,
be real.
Dude.
Let's hold on. Time zones will still
yeah,
be real.
For sure.
Yeah, but not
but
the,
daylight savings time, like changing forward and back twice
sprint
a year
forward.
Will stop.
Yeah.
But
all
that's
backwards.
What, who like yeah. who and obviously I know it's deeper than just like there's a guy that's like, all right, we're not doing that anymore.
Father.
You know, I know there's like a board and a committee.
A cabal.
There's
a secret. There's a secret Boom. Team.
Well, no, there's yeah. probably the an organization Illuminati. That has to deal with that specific thing, and they just all collectively were like, "Hey, does this? We don't have to do this anymore, right?
It's got to be the Farm Bureau, right?
Yeah,
it's
gotta, yeah.
How
yeah.
are we going to tell the simpletons that yeah, we don't yeah. have to do this anymore?
It's a Bureau of Land Management.
It's just State Farm.
Yeah.
That's Jake from State Farm, yeah. dude.
It is.
It's just a team of khaki pants.
You finally work your way up through the rankings of like Masonry and the Illuminati. You get to a room, it's all black. There's one chair. He turns around, red shirt, khaki pants, and Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, dude, I've heard this legend about Jake from State Farm that there's a comic in Chicago. I think his name's Calvin. Calvin Evans. Killer.
Yeah.
Is
I know.
His name?
I think. Wait, where is he from?
Chicago, but he goes to New York.
I
and
think
he's
so.
All over.
I think
he's
so.
A killer. But I've heard this legend that he was all set up. He was going to be the next Jake from State Farm.
Ooh,
you know, because they went. You know, the current Jake from State Farm when
yeah.
they went
yeah.
from white guy to black guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Calvin was going to be black Jake from State Farm, and he was sitting there and he's talking, and he's you know about to sign it. He's like, "This is so sick. I can't believe I'm going to make all this money and it's going to like really help my stand-up career." And they were like, "Stand-up career?" They were like,
you
have
to stop.
You are Jake from State Farm, my boy.
Like he's the president.
You can't be doing open yeah. mics and bar shows in Chicago. And he was like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, you're
you
not
don't do
stand-up.
That anymore.
We own you
so
now."
So he just pushed that contract back across the table.
Wow. Whoa.
Brother, probably what? A couple mil?
Had to be.
And the shit that he gets to do.
How big of a check would you need?
To quit stand-up?
And, like, not quit stand-up and, like, go and, you know, live on a farm or something, but, like, quit stand-up to be the fucking spokesman of
an
whatever
insurance
company.
Or, like, how much money would you need to quit stand-up to go and be, like, the new host of Wheel of Fortune or some shit?
Oh, dude, fucking, I would love to do some shit like that.
Me too. I think it's within the industry, but then you do think about like what
could you
we
ever
get,
go back?
What we glean.
Or just not.
Yeah, yeah. In the, no, you could go back. You say you got to take.
You could Ellen it. Like you can get canceled and then do like a.
Yeah, 10 years. 10
an
years.
Apology tour.
Oof.
I don't know. I wouldn't. It would
I
need to
do
be
it.
Pretty big. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
There's,
given up
there's
so
too much,
much
shit I want to
yeah,
do
already.
I've sacrificed so much to do comedy.
I feel very pot committed at this point.
Yeah, I've been all in from day one. Same. So to be like, okay, what was that all for, anyways?
Well, if it was all for, like, I don't know, man.
Well, see,
man,
that's where my perspective number. Is. Like, I'm still kind of fresh into it, and it's like, yeah, I love doing stand up. Hosting is very fun.
You're
yeah.
so
I think,
good at it.
I think being a feature is going to be really cool, but I don't see myself really being a guy that, you know, does big comedy shows all the time. I would like my role models are like Chris Farley.
Here are
right, like Chris Farley is a god to me. Yeah, what yeah. he's been able to do, you know, like in acting and like being in a bunch of different things and being a guy that's like, oh, he's funny.
Yeah,
he made me feel good.
That's a funny guy.
That's funny that's person. More so what I like to do. That's why I really liked that when I did that show. Like that was just fun to be like the comedic relief and something that felt kind of serious like that. But it's also, like I said, so young into it. I don't even know.
You're just evolving into figuring out.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. You know what I mean? I'm just living life, brother.
My Mount Rushmore is Chris Farley, Sinbad, Adam Sandler. Like those guys, it's like you made me feel good. You did all of these different things. Yeah. You weren't ever just one thing.
Yep.
I just love that.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, Sinbad rules.
Sinbad. I watch the rules.
Watch the Sinbad stuff. He's awesome. Sick. Yeah. The ADHD like math problem bit that he's
yes.
He's like, I got Sinbad rules. I was like,
well, that's why I didn't know it was ADHD, but I've always loved Sinbad because he was like, he never did the same set. Like it was, even if it was the same jokes, they were always like in different orders. And he was always just whatever track his brain was on, he would just follow that down the rabbit hole. And that's that thing that I've loved from Sinbad. And that's that thing I study because that's how my brain works.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, that's how you do stand up. You might do some of the same jokes, but they're never said the same.
Dude, Sinbad has that.
Yeah. Which is nice being the person that's filming because it's always a different.
Yeah,
it's always different.
This week's episode of the What in Tardation podcast is brought to you by Eargasm, the leader in innovative hearing solutions. Eargasm was founded with a passion for preserving the sound quality of live experiences while prioritizing hearing health. We live in a loud world, and harmful noises significantly threaten our hearing and mental health. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are designed to protect your hearing in all loud environments without sacrificing sound quality. Get all the highs and lows of a concert or festival at a safer volume for your eardrums. Eargasm earbuds aren't just for musicians or concert fans, though. They're for anyone who finds themselves in loud situations. If you're someone who needs extra support in unpredictable environments, from comedy clubs or classrooms to crowds or construction sites, these earplugs help manage sensory overload and anxiety caused by loud noises. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are an ideal go-to solution for neurodivergent individuals or anyone else with sensory processing differences or sensitivities to sounds, because these earplugs filter out harmful, overwhelming noise and allow you to hear only what matters, so you can enjoy a calmer, more grounded experience in chaotic environments. Order your first pair of hypoallergenic, high-fidelity earplugs today by checking Eargasm out on Instagram or heading over to their website at www.eargasm.com. And when you check out, use promo code AJ10 for 10% off your order. Now back to the podcast.
I do that too in the aspect of like, maybe not every word is going to be the same, right? Like it's always delivered different, but I have a really hard time breaking the order. Lee actually challenged me to break the order.
Oh, yeah. That Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, that was a hell of a weekend.
We went to work.
Hell of a weekend.
That was sick.
He was like, dude, go out there. And
where was this?
Zanies.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Paulie Shore. Future. That was fun, dude. And that was cool, too, because that was my first time running 15 at the club. Never ran 15 at the club. Let's go. Cool.
It was a great weekend, man.
But when you said, you know, rearrange it, or like just going off of that, what I know.
The path.
Yeah. It's like it was very difficult, but it's gotten easier.
When you run with us, you'll be running 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah.
Gang, gang.
Yeah. He's got it in him for sure.
Yeah.
Jake did that for me when we Jake.
Dude, he rules.
Jake who?
Ruble.
Yeah, Jake Ruble.
God, he's awesome.
We went to.
Tried to FaceTime me a minute ago.
We went to OKC with Jay Muse, and like the first set was like whatever for me, and like the first night, and then in the green room, Jake was like, "You should." Me and AJ used to do this game with each other to challenge each other. He's like, "Do your set backwards," and I was like. Okay.
Open with your closer is a real power move.
Uh-huh. And then I did that for the rest of the weekend, and now it's kind of how I do it. Like in the middles, I'll go. I have like three different paths I can go down
for sure.
But to like do it that way, it helped my last joke work better.
Yeah, because it has to.
Yeah.
Open with your closer.
Yeah.
That's an old Louis thing.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that out.
Yeah, open
just
with the closer.
Just flip the set.
Flip it.
That'd be interesting.
Flip the set. Well, and you don't have to flip the entire set, but tell your closing joke first, because then it challenges you as you like proceed through your material. Even if you try to like write out a set list, you're like, fuck, now I have to tell this joke in this different order, and I have to move this here. And like, it's kind of like a word problem.
Yeah.
But there's just no math involved. It's just a word problem.
Yeah. And it causes you while you're out there to think on your feet.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fun feeling.
Well, yeah. And you never know without that's mixing fun. Things up. You don't know when your brain's going to like make a new segue from one joke to another.
Yep.
And that's like, that's a new joke that you made.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, doing it in a different order, you might go, oh, from here, I could actually say this or do this thing. And then now that goes into here.
Build little bridges.
And building bridges, you might find entirely new towns.
New population. Yes,
that was pretty fucking deep, though.
Yeah.
He's got deep in the dark yard, man.
Deep, dude.
Whole new
deep.
Towns filled with all so many different kinds of people.
Cum
unexplored.
that's the other cool thing about doing like the road trip in the RV. The way we did it is we stopped at all these little small coastal towns and little places. We drove through this little German village in the mountains.
Leavenworth, an entire town
designed to look like a German village. Like even like the modern stores, like McDonald's had like an old timey wooden, sign.
'40s when that That's
literally what I was saying, because we were talking about like, do you remember that cult documentary about the cult that took over that whole town?
Yes.
Weird Wild Wild Country.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about that, and I was like, that's basically what happened in this German village. It's crazy. Like some guy moved there, bought as much of the town as he could, and he was like, these are my rules.
Yeah, this is Germany now.
Yeah. 1885, by the way.
1885, okay. That's so much better than 1940s.
Oh, yeah.
1845, that guy was just kind of whimsical.
Yeah, 1951,
Yeah, dude, that was
tough,
dude.
1885, it's about the arts.
Yeah,
it's about the culture.
Pretty way out there, too.
Way
I think 1940
would
still be about
there.
The culture for them.
That's what.
Do you think that 1885, that little town? Do you think that they came across the Atlantic and then hooked it all the way across North America, or do you think they
came the other way,
like we were talking about earlier?
Because
it's probably
by the late 1885.
Oh, probably they couldn't fly across the Pacific Ocean in 1885. No. Uh-uh. Oh yeah, no. You're hucking shit.
From Germany, you could have gone like across Russia to China, maybe.
Yeah.
But depending on that's a hard journey too.
Yeah,
that's
tough, dude. Yeah. Everything was so hard.
Yeah.
Even
the landscape of that area, let alone like traveling across America.
I don't know world geography well enough to know if across Russia was the correct answer to that.
Yeah,
because
isn't Alaska and then Russia, wouldn't that be closer or no?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was kind of my thought.
Look at the world map.
My brain is like a 8-foot picket fence backyard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is right there.
Anything past that, it's like, it's not right.
Yeah, dude. I'm fine.
All the weird, strange
Texas. It's all.
But the point is, all the weird, strange people you see.
Russia over here, Alaska over here.
Yeah. So they had to go this way. And then around.
That's wild. Yeah. That's so
why do the maps always depict Africa as so small?
Yeah, that's
you know bizarre. Africa's like huge.
Yeah, Africa's big as hell.
Like big as fuck. It's always kind of like smaller on the map.
I think you're thinking
Australia? Maybe
Australia
is pretty big on the map.
Also Australia. Australia is very big too, but it's smaller on the map. But no, I'm specifically talking about Africa because Africa is supposed to be like bigger than this. Like it's
about that size.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Massive. It's like why are all these things?
Yeah, all this like deception.
I
don't necessarily think it's deception. I think it's just I think it's just like, you know, I work at a job, right? Like if there's a corner I can cut, I'm going to cut a corner. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I feel
like, so some guy was like, oh, dude, I have to totally redesign this map to fucking make. He's like, hey, why is Africa so small? I was like, dude, just fucking disproportionate, man.
Yeah. It's just like an artist drawing anything else. It's like, why are the hands so small? It's like, hey, I'm doing this for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just some dude's incompetence or laziness years ago.
You get two revisions. Yeah. You want me to change this again, you got to pay for it. And they're like, nah, you know what? That's actually fine. That's probably fine.
Yeah, 154 revision. I'm good, bro. It's all right.
Yeah. Dude, you had me change the font 8 times. We're done.
Yeah. Dude, when we made the logo, I'm sure you feel the same way when you're designing shirts. It's like, I'm so like, it's like, no, it doesn't look right yet. Like, fix this, tweak this. And then finally, my guy with my logo was like, hey, man, I'm giving you way more free ones than I give anybody. Yeah. This is your logo.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the organic alley-oop there. But yeah, this logo, the merch company designed for me, and kind of same. I wanted to be like, oh, do this. And I was like, they're making it. I'm not, just let them, you know what I mean? And so, but I dig this logo a lot.
It does look sick.
Like an old, like mechanic shop logo or something, or auto parts.
I was going to say like John Deere kind of.
Yeah, like an old Kubota or something, you know?
It looks like the grill of like a car.
Or like a sick belt buckle.
Oh, dude, that on a belt buckle?
Yeah, dude, this just smashed into a girl's forehead.
It's backwards. Whose jaw? That rocks, dude.
Like Taryn said, you could put a picture of yourself shitting on a shirt and people would buy it, so.
I might do that, actually. I might do that. I've posted like some pictures before, like promos of like me on the toilet. I might like cut that out as a sticker and then just put like, I'm the shit on a shirt.
AJ Wilkerson comedy.
Merch, baby.
Merch, baby. I did the fucking, those.
Yeah.
Doug, those. We'll have those up online. Shit soon.
Yeah.
I'm building a, like a merch store online, which is driving me insane.
Yeah. That's
but
a hell of
it'll
a
be up.
Undertaking.
Shopify is a bitch.
It is a bitch.
Yes.
Dude, I don't know anything about shipping. What do I know about shipping? Nightmare, I used to drive for UPS and I still don't know shit about shipping.
Yeah, shipping.
And then on there they make you like do it by weight and then you're sitting there like, well, how much does a Bella Canvas shirt weigh?
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, it was like the default was like a pound and I was like, well, a shirt doesn't weigh a pound. And I was like, what does a typical shirt weigh? Like 6 ounces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, half a pound or 6 ounces, whatever. So then I started trying to do that and I was like, I don't know if this is even right. Like, I don't know if this is going to correspond with what like the merch company is going to like bill me to ship them.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out what that is.
Wait.
Yeah.
My shirts weigh about a pound.
Yeah.
Your shirts probably do weigh about a pound. Dude,
I had this.
About 5 weigh.
Yeah.
I had this legendary baseball coach in high school. He was like in the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. He's legend. Guy named Dom Fusey, and he was just this real kind of wacky dude. And if you were ever in like a really high pressure situation, you know, into the game, big game, a lot of people there, whatever it is, if it was a high pressure situation and you were hitting, he'd call a timeout, wave you down, and you'd jog down there and you'd think he was going to like say something, watch out for the fat curveball or whatever. And just to get your mind off of the situation, he'd be like, Kimbrel, how much do you figure this baseball field weighs? And you're sitting there and you're like, I mean, like, I don't know, like, how deep into it? He's like, oh, okay, another question. How much do you think the school weighs? And you're sitting there and you're like, shit, I don't know. He's like, all right, go get him.
Dude, I had
just
a,
to kind
I
of
had
take
a,
you out of the moment.
Dude, I had a little league baseball coach that would do that.
Fascinating guy.
Dude. I had a little league baseball coach that would do something similar. He'd call you over and he'd be like, how long do you think it would take you to swim through a cornfield? Yeah. And you're like, what? Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you? And it's, yeah, exactly
chuckle,
that.
You're out of the moment. Then you're just a kid. You're like
well,
right,
is
let's
that
play baseball.
That makes me wonder about.
And that's when you play the best, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that makes me wonder. Like, you know how in football, like with NFL coaches and stuff, they talk about like coaching trees, and it's like, oh, these three guys coached under Bill Walsh, and these guys came from Bill
Belichick.
I wonder about that in baseball. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
what
sure.
camp or what like thing did these guys go to where like that
all of that
coaching
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Trick, like, trickled its way out into the world.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fucking, I love thinking about stuff like that.
Who was
like
the first coach that ever did that? It's like, you know, come over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. Baseball rules. Dude.
Yeah. Who was the first baseball coach that was like, hey, how much wood do you think a woodchuck could chuck?
Could
chuck. Woodchuck could chuck wood.
Yeah, exactly.
How many seashells is Sally selling down there?
That's how old baseball is that the guy who invented it, Abner Doubleday, fought in the Civil War.
Oh, shit.
He was a Union soldier, and he fought in the Civil War, and then he retired and was like, fuck this, I saw some shit. And then he went and invented baseball.
He invented a game so he could beat his own demons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you're talking about how the trickle-down effects of just, the psyche and decisions of one human being, but, like, some guy had, like, PTSD.
Yeah.
Went to a field, that he got a stick, pick up an acorn.
Talk about
like,
a field of dreams.
God, if I could only get, like, what have I shit fucking, like, 19 of my buddies over here. Maybe I get, like, I don't know, like, 18.
Right. Do you know what I really need? Yeah. Do you know what I really need? Is I really need a circle of trust.
Yeah, yeah. We need some camaraderie. I don't know. Maybe, like, a nice green field.
What do you think? Dude, you know he's probably, sitting in a sweat lodge, too. He's probably sitting in a sweat lodge doing ayahuasca, trying to get over everything that he saw during the Civil War.
Yes.
And then he was like, what do I call the place where all the boys gather? He's like, hey, what is this building we're all doing these drugs in called? And they're like, oh, it's the dugout. And he's like, that's what we're calling them. Two dugouts, one for each team.
We'll go to a nice green field, call it a park. Who gives a shit, you know? It's fun. I do. I love it.
That field of dreams was actually a field of nightmares. It was
a field of fucking bad dreams.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Hot riff, dude.
I'd never known that much about baseball. Dude, I played baseball growing up, but it's because my dad, like, coached baseball.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And he was super into it. My dad coached my brother all the way through high school, and I stopped playing baseball for a couple of years in high school and didn't play again until my senior year because my school was so small. They were like, we need one more body.
Yeah, dude.
Or we don't have a team.
Dude, baseball movies are the shit. We were talking about pirate movies, dude. A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield.
Sandlot is probably the movie that I've watched the most in my life.
Maybe the greatest baseball movie of all time.
So good, dude. A League of Their Own, you know that one?
Yeah.
You know that happened?
Yes.
I don't know what it is.
World War II. All the boys were over there killing Nazis, and people were like, we want baseball. So there was like a popular...
There was a women's baseball league.
Professional baseball league. It was awesome. They made a movie. Have you ever heard, there's no crying in baseball?
Tom Hanks and Tom Gina Hanks. Davis.
And that's what that's from.
That's Chet Hanks' dad.
Yeah, that's Chet. What a wild...
I've gotten to meet him a couple times. What a wild... He's a nice dude.
Chet Hanks' dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's fucking jacked.
Yeah, big fumble club.
Yeah, he's yoked up, dude.
That's amazing.
He started White Boy Summer, man. That's culturally significant. That's crazy.
Is that White Boy Summer?
That's White Boy Summer.
used to be an
Antioch gang called the Crazy White Boys.
Hell yeah.
And it was like a big thing in like the 90s in Nashville.
Oh, really?
There was like big fights, big riots, big... Yeah.
Crazy White Boys.
Yeah. CWB.
CWB.
The redneck version of the Kia Boys?
It's the white... Yeah. It's okay.
The Chevy Boys.
Yeah. They're stealing horses.
Horse thief. Dude, if you stole somebody's horse back in the day, you ruined their whole life.
We're the Mustang Gang.
Yeah. We're the Mustang Gang, dude.
Mustang Gang.
That's dope. You could just absolutely destroy somebody. We're talking about like... German village. If you just like rolled up somebody, stole their horse, their life's fucked. Is pretty much over.
Oh my God.
Especially if they're far away from town. That's how they got to town.
Yeah, and this is that far hard to steal town. A horse. There's no security. Yeah, you know what I mean? You just fucking got to tie a better knot than somebody else.
You
got
to hope that horse likes you enough to like, or, you know, give you a warning.
Something.
If not, the nurse is like, fuck this guy. He only feeds me once a day. Let's get out of here.
I'm out, dude.
Yeah, stealing a car, you got to break in. You got to get in. See on the horse, you're like, hey, you see this apple, dude?
Yo, you gotta break in, you gotta get not caught, and even if you did, you gotta get not prosecuted whatsoever. You know, it's all sorts of stuff.
Dude, yeah, horses don't have VIN numbers, dude.
Doug, I was just watching this thing on TikTok, this like backcountry dude that does like mountain shit. And he was talking about why goats are better companion and work animals than horses. And he was like, because like when a horse gets scared, it runs away. When a goat gets scared, it runs to you.
Really?
Yeah, because a goat thinks of you as part of its herd. So a goat will run to you, whereas a horse, like if like thunder, like a thunderclap, your horse will just bolt away. Well, it just runs
that's
away.
That's why there's goats at every horse farm. You know, if you're ever like driving on one of these roads and you look out and you're like, oh, look, horses, how nice. Slow down a little bit and squint and you will also see a goat.
Why is that?
Goats calm horses down to the point that he's saying. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's just
because if a horse is scared, it will run away because it's like looking for a herd.
It's the horse's pet.
It's an emotional support animal.
Because a horse looks at a goat the way we look at like dogs.
Yeah,
like,
this little guy, if he's chilling, I'm chilling.
Yeah. Or like the way they give like big cats golden zoos, doodle. They give like golden doodles or fucking wiener dogs, dude.
Really?
Puppies. They'll put wiener dogs in with like tigers.
They won't eat them?
No, they become like companions.
Especially if it's like a tiger cub.
Oh yeah.
If it's like born in captivity, and it'll just be raised with like a golden retriever.
Dude,
and
then there's a video of like a golden retriever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
There's a video of a golden retriever at this zoo that like raised like 8 tigers.
Yeah, as its mom.
As their mom. So like the tigers will be like fighting with each other, and this golden retriever will come in and grab one of the tigers by the ear and pull it away from the other tiger and like get in between them, and they won't fuck with her at all.
Yeah, the hierarchy of like animal intelligence and stuff. How much money would you pay a month if there was a subscription? How much money would you pay a month to be able to like talk to your dog? Or talk to your cat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, so much money.
Yeah, like, to be able to talk to Abby, you'd probably drop, what, like, 15 grand a year? You'd get a second job.
Yeah, it would.
Start an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Just to be able to talk to your feet. Yeah, exactly.
Netflix goes up $2, and everyone's like, fuck this company! But they're like, hey, $150 a month. And you're like, fucking, where do I sign?
$150 a month to talk to your favorite animal?
That would be really
done,
cool.
Done, dude. Done. I wonder if we'll see.
Only if you could turn it off. Because I bet sometimes it'd get annoying.
Doug, there's already those people that have you seen those interactive mats for dogs where they can say words and communicate shit?
Yeah.
That's already happening.
I saw one of those videos that got kind of dark. It's like a golden doodle who is so smart.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you see a dog smashing him and you're like, all right, well, he just said park wet. He's just kind of button mashing. He's playing Mortal Kombat right now.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll see a dog and you're like, oh, that guy knows what he's doing right there. And have you seen the one of the dog who like got too much sentience and he just sits there all day and the only button he presses, dude, it gives me a chills. He's like, why?
Why?
Oh my God.
Why dog? Why dog?
Why dog years?
Why dog? This motherfucker's like, why am I a dog? You're not a dog.
That's hilarious. Why?
I know what a dog is. You ain't a dog. I'm a dog. You seem
that's
to be doing way
more
shit.
That's a person who's been reincarnated.
Why now?
How crazy is
that's
that?
That's dark.
Why, dog? It's a Black Mirror episode.
What have I done in a previous life to make me a dog, but I don't have enough buttons to say that? So why, dog?
Yeah, dude.
Why, dog?
Full sentience dog would be bad, but if you're just like regular dog, I can't think of a better reincarnation than like being a golden retriever to a rich family.
Oh,
how sick of a life is that, dude? Not if you're like aware that you are a dog and you could be a human.
Yeah. Why dog?
I
have so many poems to write. Yeah. Why dog?
Why dog?
He just keeps going bad, bad.
Bad dog.
Why?
There's a guy who does it with Frenchies and their buttons are like really funny. Freak. It'll say like, hey, you want to go do that? But hell no.
You want to go to the vet? Hell no.
Yeah, it's the coolest shit.
With a Samuel L. Jackson voice?
It's a very pigeon voice, but it's very funny. Dude. It's very funny. Oh. He says some crazy shit. But I think at that point, you're just teaching them how to hit the button. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's some.
But then there are some, like you're saying, where they're like, outside, please. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. And even if that treat is a soon? Learned behavior, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's crazy that you can teach a dog to do anything. I raised Dottie since a puppy, and like, it's crazy that like she could be as far away, and I go here, and she fucking comes right to me and sits next to me.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's like, that's a fucking animal.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And then you see people that do it like horses. Like horses are really smart. You could train them to do crazy shit, or like the dogs and animals that you see in movies.
Yeah,
that are trained to like pant on command.
Yes.
Like, how the fuck are you teaching your dog to pant? I can't get mine to fucking stop.
Act scared. Yeah. All right. Listen, dog. In the woods is a scary monster.
Paul right here.
Yeah. Go over there. Be scared. Act like there's a monster over there, and then I want you to hit me with a good little and run away. And they do it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, they taught those golden retrievers how to play basketball.
Why?
Wait, what? Airbud? Are you talking about? Well,
they taught those guys. They taught them how to play basketball, volleyball, soccer. I mean, holy shit,
dude! I've got a bit about that.
You think they taught them the full game? You think they taught them how to play a football game? Totally. They taught them all the rules.
Yeah.
Hey, inbounds.
They're just watching a bunch of film. They're just like.
You got a coach on the sideline going like, hey, 36-1. 36-1.
Sitting there watching film, just a bunch of dogs. Dude, that rules. That's how they make babies cry in movies. They pinch them.
Give them a little pinch.
These babies aren't acting, dude. They're just reacting. Just scared. It'd be
crazy to get a baby to cry on command.
Yeah. I've got a joke that I do on stage about it, about how the horses from Lord of the Rings thought it was real.
What?
The horse. The horses in the movie Lord of the Rings thought that they were like in a war for Middle Earth.
Oh, God, that is amazing.
Why was
it's got to be the same thing for Game of Thrones,
100%.
Right? Like, the horses in Game of Thrones are like, we're riding into battle, boys.
This is crazy. This is from, like, the realm of men.
We're on the front lines.
We're with the Knights of Rohan right now.
This is for the realm of men.
Why, horse?
Then the next day, they're just back. They're just a normal horse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're turning on their buddies.
They're normal horses. They're like, hey, I've seen some shit. And one of them's like, hey, I came up with a game.
Yeah.
We're going to get two teams. There'll be two dugouts. Hay bales and poop.
All the hay you can eat, buddy. All the hay you can eat.
Just we'll put a stream right behind home plate. You can stop, get a little water.
Great, dude. HPTSD, dude. I feel bad for him. It's a hell of a day.
And then they go back, and then there's another horse that was on like a nice, like, you know, kids movie.
Yeah.
He's like, what'd you do today? He's like, fucking
I don't want to talk about it. And this guy was in like the Never Ending Story. He's my career was awesome.
He's like, dude, it's great. With these kids, it's this cool fluffy thing. He's like, dude, I fucking saw everything. They're dying.
What'd you do today? What'd you do today? I was the real life My Little Pony. Yeah. What'd you do today?
Yeah. I killed a man.
Yeah.
I only fought for the freedom of the entire universe.
Yeah.
There's a guy I didn't know on my back, and then he got his head chopped off. And then I just ran away into a.
You ever seen an orc up close?
They're like, well, they partnered me up with my rider, and we got really well connected. And then he just was murdered, and they put me in a cage and brought me back here.
Here I am. Apparently, it's the year 2017 again. What the fuck? What's that about?
I time traveled.
Yeah, where was the air conditioning back there with the dragons?
Do you know what I did today? I was in the forest, surrounded by orcs. I thought we were all goners, and then a guy yelled, cut!
Yeah. He didn't look like any of them.
Dude, the headless horseman must have been fucked up.
He didn't look like any of them.
I was really connected with my rider, and then his head was a pumpkin.
Then he got coffee!
Yeah, some guy wearing jeans. Everybody else got armor suits on. This guy with jeans is like, hey, I think he might have been Jesus. Yeah. They talking about he's...
Because horses can talk to each other.
He parted a sea of orcs. Can they really? They just parted.
They can... You see animals communicate with each other.
Of course they communicate, but do you think they like...
Telepathic?
Well, do you think like a horse is like fucking like hey, this food's really good. You know what I mean? Like, do you think they're
crazy weather we're having today?
Yeah, or is it all, like, is it conversation or is it only like hey, stay away from this. Hey, don't like.
I think that they probably have a little bit more sentience than we give them credit for. But the most hippy dippy answer to that is that if you're a bipedal animal, if you're a horse, your chakra alignment is horizontal. So that means that, like, the little top part that makes us human, the little spark where we can, like, past, present, future, or whatever, that's not there. So I think they're mostly just kind of reactionary. I don't think a horse is, like, at the twilight of his life, remembering when he could run fast.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's kind of just like, I'm a horse. I don't think, you know, I know that's how it sounds.
It's like, fucking nay.
Nay, motherfucker.
Well, you don't think a horse, like, so, like, you see tigers, like, you know, from a tiger cub raised with one person, and then they're gone for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then they see that person, and they recognize them. Like, it's like, it makes you think that, like, maybe during that 10 years, they're like, what the fuck happened to Bill?
Yeah.
I used to see this guy all the time.
All the time.
He's like, holy shit, there's fucking Bill!
I think that falls along the lines of like ADHD and autism, like object permanence. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Bill's gone, and it's just like, oh, all right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit, Bill!
Bill's back.
Yeah. Bill!
It's like, Bill doesn't exist.
I almost forgot about you, but you're here.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're never gone. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good point. Because I do that with some people. People I haven't seen or talked to in forever, and I see them, I'm like, dude, what? It's like I haven't fucking... It's like I saw you yesterday, dude.
Yeah.
What
the fuck? Yeah. But you didn't exist to me until just now.
Yeah. I totally forgot that you were even here, dude. That's why it's hard, like, you may experience this. I don't know if you guys are ADHD guys, but like when people die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like when people pass away, it's like I try really hard to remember them. But then, like, there are people that are alive that I don't talk to anymore that I just completely forget.
Yeah.
And then I see them and I do remember them. Why is that, you think?
I think it's because they go into a different category in your brain.
It's like a different file.
You know what I mean?
Because you're not like, seeing them every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like because when someone dies, it's like, okay, I'm putting them over here. And like, it's almost like your brain builds a headstone for them, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
So you have like whatever reminded you of them, it's like more connected to that in like that database of your brain.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense. Than a person who's alive.
Yeah. Like one of my buddies that was in the army, he's from Florida and he's dead now. And I don't think about him every day, but whenever I go by a beach because he's from Florida, my brain has that like connection. Oh, my buddy.
It's almost like when someone dies, it's like, it's almost like when someone dies, it's like while they're alive, they're written on paper. Once they die, your brain writes them on stone.
I like you die two times. You die when you die, and then you die the last time someone ever says your name.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, what we're after right now.
Immortality.
You know, just like, got to stick around, man. Even after I'm dead, people are still going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah. I talk about this a lot. I'm not going to have kids.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't have like a bloodline legacy to continue. This is it. Yeah. This is what I've dedicated my life and like my... Whatever legacy I'm going to have, it's going to be based on this.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. This is all I got.
What in tarnation?
What in tarnation?
This is my life's work. This is my magnum.
Yeah. Bury me in the tard yard.
This is my legacy, live from the tard yard. That rules. No, it's a beautiful. It's beautiful. It rocks. It's so funny.
At least you said the name right.
Yeah, Tarnation.
Someone thought it was what in tradition.
Yeah, somebody with dyslexia read it and said, what in tradition?
What in tradition?
What in tradition?
That's hilarious.
Somebody else calls it what in Tard Nation. I was like, Tard Nation is our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Tard Nation.
Yeah, Tard Nation.
Beautiful.
I pledge allegiance to the Tard.
Fucking shout out your social medias. Let everybody know where to find you.
Hello. Dates. Yeah, dude. The Instagram at Leon Kimbrell. Two L's in Kimbrell. You'll see me on their Instagrams and stuff. Just have me there. Come see me live. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yes. Kyler?
Kyler Finney Comedy. Holla at your boy.
There's only one.
Yep. The one and only. One.
Two N's in Finney.
Yeah, you see a fat guy with a Rottweiler on his shirt. It's me.
And at Sydney Stevens Comedy on everything.
Boom.
All right. Tonight, actually. I'm in Chattanooga. I'm headlining Lookout Comedy Festival at the Comedy Catch. This weekend, October 18th, I will be in Manchester, Connecticut with Cam Bertrand, co-headlining some shows. And then I'll also this Sunday be at Helium in Indianapolis. So you guys can come see me there. And then I've got dates all the way through the end of the year, all on ajwilkerson.com, including filming my next special, January 31st at Gramercy Theater. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. So you can go get tickets for that at ajwilkerson.com. Also, don't forget Tard Nation. We just brought it up. If you want to join the Patreon, you get bonus podcast episode every week. And you can check that out at patreon.com/TardationNation.
Come hang out in the yard, folks.
Gramercy. That's huge.
Gramercy. Buddy. With Homeless Pimp.
With Homeless Pimp.
With Homeless Pimp.
Buddy, congrats.
It's going to cost me six figures. So that's somebody so needs wild. To buy it.
Yeah,
so
that's so
tell
exciting,
the others.
Man.
Email Netflix. support@netflix.com.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's. I'm excited. It's going to be.
What in tarnation?